Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to BDSIR Networks Presents No Foul Play. Today is August 28, 2016. And first things first, I want to apologize. I am a little bit under the weather, so if you feel like my voice is nasally, now you understand the reason why. Rick, please keep your comments to yourself, because I know you're probably going to say something slick. But as always, ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined by Rick. Rick, what's going on? Go ahead and get your comment out of the way, because I know you want to say something. Go for it.
I'm good, thanks. I'm good. I just want to point out, stop going down on the red light district. And yeah. You're staying out, but it's just a thought. So, yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Momo, welcome back to the program. We had a really, really good show midweek. I appreciate you. Welcome back, dude.
Thanks, man. How's it going?
Everything's going good. And Alex, I know you didn't watch much football, but you know, you could say a little things here and there. So right now you're watching, as Momo likes to call it, MLF, a.k.a. MLS. What's going on, nope. Alex?
Nothing much.
All right, guys. So finally, all the leagues have kicked off. The Bundesliga obviously also started this past weekend. And I asked Rick, I'm like, I think we should start off with the Bundesliga. Everyone knows it's one of my favorite topics. And Rick was like, ugh. He's so disrespectful when it comes to the Bundesliga. But you know what? We'll leave the Bundesliga to the end of the show, so I don't put him to bed, because all he's gonna say how great Bayern Munich are because they destroy Werder Bremen 6-0. Well, Dortmund also has some signings, and I have a feeling that Dortmund can win the league. And I'm gonna tell you the reason why Dortmund can win the league at the end of the show when we finally review the Bundesliga. You guys wanna laugh at me? Go ahead and laugh at me, but I have reasons why Dortmund can win the league. What? Oh, unless you want to go ahead and discuss it now, we can discuss it now if you like. I could give you the reasons why Dortmund can win the league.
Go for it. Notice you said can, not will. But
you said can.
Exactly, Alex. Exactly.
Continue.
I said can. I never said they will.
I know. Okay. Let's hear your reasons.
All right. Well, before that, let me just go on through the actual score lines, and then we'll open this up for debate. You guys could go ahead and roast me all you want, but I really, really don't care if you roast me, because I do have a feeling that Borussia Dortmund can win the league. However, the Bundesliga started off on Friday, August the 26th, with a thrashing of Werder Bremen by Bayern Munich, 6-0. Then Saturday, we had Borussia Dortmund 2, Mainz 1, Cologne 2, Darmstadt 0, Hamburg 1, Ingolstadt 1, Augsburg 0, Wolfsburg 2, Eintracht Frankfurt 1, Schalke 0. That is a huge scoreline, Rick, by the way, because Schalke, as we know, always great in the mid third to like seventh positions for Europa League and Champions League qualifications, but then dropping points to a rival that were almost relegated last year tells you how much Schalke has lost over this past season. Borussia Mönchengladbach 2, Bayer Leverkusen 1, Hertha Berlin 2, Freiburg 1, and finally Hoffenheim 2 and Red Bulls Leipzig 2. Now, a little bit of fun facts about Red Bulls Leipzig, guys. This is a team that just got formed, I believe, 6 years ago, and now they are on the top of the Bundesliga. So that's a pretty cool little story. Even though German football isn't as in-depth, as the Premier League is, or La Liga, or any of those leagues, but it's pretty cool to see a story like that. Now, Rick, hear me out. I'm going to tell you the reason why I believe Borussia Dortmund can win the league. And then I'll let you go ahead and butt in. Okay? Yes. Bayern Munich are a threat. Obviously, they're a threat to win the Champions League this year. In fact, today when we talk a little about the Champions League after the draw, I want to get you guys' reactions. I do have a feeling that they're going to be in the final of the Champions League this year. I think it is their time for them to be in the final. They could even become winners of the Champions League this year. However, Carlo Ancelotti, fantastic manager. Let's be honest out there. He's a great manager. Did big things for Real Madrid, won La Decima. However, Carlo Ancelotti, Rick, his track record in the league isn't really the greatest. Don't get me wrong. He is great in the European stage, but I think I'm not going to say he's going to sabotage, obviously, a league win, but he just might focus more on the Champions League, which could give Thomas Tuchel a lot, and I'm talking about a lot of ammunition for them to go ahead and take him over in the league. I'm not saying it will happen, so please, all right, before you roast me, think about what I said. I said it can happen, Rick. Why can it happen? What makes you think that it cannot happen for Borussia Dortmund to be this could be their year? They are stacked with their team. They got Mario Götze back. We still got hold of Marco Reus. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang stayed. We signed Mark Bartra from Barcelona. We still have Gonzalo Castro, Kagawa. The team that Dortmund do have is pretty stacked, dude.
I just want to bring something up real quick. Did you see how the Dynamo Dresden fans threw a severed bull's head on the field whenever they played Red Bulls, whatever, Leipzig?
What?
Whenever Dynamo Dresden, I don't know if this was this week or last week, whenever they played the German Red Bull team, the supporters of Dynamo threw a severed bull's head onto the field.
I didn't see that. Yeah. But anyway, Rick, I don't have a good reasoning why I think Dortmund can win the league.
Wait, when was the last time Dortmund won the league?
It's been four years.
Do you think that the team's any better from 4 years ago?
Absolutely.
I disagree.
Why? Just because we lost.
I disagree with you. Lewandowski, Hummels, yeah.
Yeah, but they have Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. We have Marco Reus.
Okay. I would disagree with you. I think Bayern Munich are the better team. I think Dortmund will slip up. I think it's in the kind of. I really want them to do well. I'd love to see them win the league. I still can't see it. I think defensively, you're not stable enough. Midfield isn't strong enough. Going forward, fantastic. But I just think defensive midfield-wise, just not good enough. And I'll say it now, I think they'll drop points against random teams this season. And that's what's going to cost them. Because Bayern Munich have got players in every position that you would have in any other team in the world. So that's just the way.
I'm not saying that you're wrong whatsoever. In fact, I agree with you. The only thing is that Carlo Ancelotti is more of a European-based manager to win like the Champions League than he would win, league.
But,
for example,
let me stop there. He's expected to win the league at Bayern Munich.
He is expected
to win the league every season. And then they expect to, it's like Barcelona, they're expected to win the league and then they're expected to try and win the Champions League. The Champions League is the big thing. Now, Dortmund haven't got that. Dortmund's thing is to win the league and then see how well they can do in Europe, not expect to win the Champions League. They expect to win the league.
I've got to jump in there, man. You see, completely agree with the league, but after they got to the final a couple of years ago and then got to the semi-finals like the year after or 2 years after, that expectation of doing explicitly well in the Champions League, even getting to the point of expecting to win it, it started to creep back into Dortmund mentality. And I think that's what cost them the league last year, because for a long time they weren't far behind Bayern. But then you notice when Champions League kicked off back again in sort of February, when they get in the knockout stages, the focus seemed to shift from the league to
You mean the Europa League.
Dortmund are never in the Champions League, dude.
Yeah, they were. And again, I'll never forget when Rick was like, "Oh, they're going to get relegated. They're going to get relegated. Oh, and it'll be funny to see Dortmund play in Bundesliga 2. I'm like, Rick, there's no way that Borussia Dortmund will ever get relegated. They spend more than 4 weeks in the bottom of the league. They spend all of Christmas in the bottom of the league, if I'm not mistaken.
Winter.
Anyway, that's my take. I'm not saying that Dortmund are going to win the league. I'm just saying that they can and they have a shot, and they do have a pretty decent squad. For example, I think Gonzalo Castro and Nuri Sahin are great CDMs. Yes, we did lose Ilkay Gundogan to Man City. That's a huge blow. However, Gundogan, Rig, you know me, man. But you know what? Again, and I talked with this Momo on our last show that you weren't here. I think Mkhitaryan is the most inconsistent player, okay? And I think Gundogan is just an injury waiting to happen.
You can't deny that you would like to have Mkhitaryan and Gundogan in your teams.
You know what? I would rather have Gundogan than Mkhitaryan. Reason being, because we have pace up front with Marco Reus and with Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. I think the addition now of Mario Götze for Borussia Dortmund is a fantastic addition to replace Henrik Mkhitaryan. However,
that the guy that you sold back
again? Yes.
I feel you. No. He was an outcast at Bayern Munich under Pep Guardiola. I understand that. I understand that 100%. Just like at Man City, you see Pep Guardiola come in. He made Yaya Toure an outcast. You know what I'm saying? That's the Pep Guardiola way. He made Joe Hart an outcast. That's just how Pep Guardiola is. Obviously, Mario Götze didn't fit in the plans of Pep Guardiola. Neither did Frank Ribery. Now under Carlo Ancelotti, Ribery is being revived again at Bayern Munich. But we'll see. Obviously, it's just really 1 week in. But we'll talk about the Bundesliga at later show. Guys, let's go ahead and continue on really quick. In Serie A, just going to go through the scores really quick. Saturday, we had Juventus 1, Lazio 0, Napoli 4, AC Milan 2. It was a fantastic game over at Naples. However, Napoli were able to edge it out against AC Milan. Inter 1, Palermo 1, Calgary 2, Roma 2, Crotone 1, Genoa 3, Fiorentina 1, Chievo Verona 0, Sampdoria 2, Atalanta 1, Sassuolo 2, Pescara 1, Torino 5, Bologna 1, Udinese 2, Empoli 0. Rick, I think AC Milan this year is going to be the same old AC Milan. They're not going to get any, even though they got investors to actually invest in the club. I still think it's a team that has years and years and years of rebuilding. Rick, I have a feeling that AC Milan once again is going to struggle again.
I think AC Milan will really struggle this year. They sacked the manager Roberto Mancini right before the start of the season, which is really strange.
Yep.
I think they lost today. Am I wrong on this? Did they draw? Palermo, they drew 1-1. That's a game you expect them to win.
Inter drew Palermo 1-1.
I personally think that Inter could do worse than AC Milan this season, which and they have Europa League. I think AC Milan would do best in Inter.
And they have Europa League.
I don't think either of the two teams will be pushing to win the league. I think you're looking at Juventus as a strong favourite. Napoli close, second behind. Could be. I'm gonna go this season 10-15 points difference at the end of the season between Napoli and Juventus. Yeah, I think Juventus will walk away with it as usual.
Apart from that,
I mean, Roma are pretty average. There's not many teams. Although I'm interested in Torino. I'd like to see what Torino do this season, but I think they'll still finish mid-table. But I'm interested in Torino. I'm thinking mid-table.
What about Roma?
In fact, you know what? Fourth, fifth, sixth. So. Europa League.
Yeah,
Mo, you have anything to say?
The podcast at work this morning, and funnily enough, the guys that do it are quite well versed on Italian football. They're saying that De Boer has said it's going to be at least a minimum of 4 months before you see his Inter Milan come out and play, so to speak. And the podcasters, they all believe that anything other than a Juventus title win is what Leicester did last season. That's how far and beyond Juventus are ahead of the chasing pack, if you will. Not that there's much of a really chasing pack, to be fair, because obviously no one has touched Juventus in, what, 5 years now, so.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and continue on really quick. I'm going to go through league on results. We had Olympic Marseille 2, Lorient 0. Dijon 4, Olympic Lyonnais 2. Excuse me, Olympic Marseille 2, Lorient 0. Dijon 4, Olympic Lyonnais 2. Nancy 0, Gingham 2. Montpellier 1, Rennes 1, Nice 1, Lille 1. Caen 2, Bastia 0, Metz 2, Angers 0. Bordeaux 1, Nantes 0. And then Saint-Étienne 0, Toulouse 0. But the big one was Monaco 3. Paris Saint-Germain 1. Rick, did you get to watch that game? I know you were a hold. I know you were you got a hold of the score, but were you able to catch any other game? Rick? You know what? I think he had to step away for a minute. Momo, how crazy was that though, man?
Yeah, with, man, I didn't PSG see the game.
In Monaco, man.
This weekend, even the last sort of 10 minutes of Barcelona Atletico in the first half of Villarreal Sevilla. But when you told me that score, I was just like, what? Like, PSG lost to Monaco? And okay, yeah, this is the same Monaco side. They just put out Villarreal in the Champions League playoff round on Wednesday night there. But, I mean, PSG are above and beyond anyone and anything in France. I mean, look at last season. They won the league at a canter in record time. You know, it's the earliest the French league has ever been won. And if memory serves, the earliest any league in Europe has been won ever. And then, like, tonight, they go to Monaco, I believe. Were they away from home? Mm-hmm. Then they go, okay, yeah, so they go to Monaco and then they lose 3-1.
Yeah,
to,
they were away from home.
Not even a decent team, because I don't even know who Monaco have got. And obviously with the whole tax issues and things like that, last couple of years with the tax breaks and the principality and having to not spend as much money to stay in the French league. It's like Monaco haven't got the same spending power PSG have now. And it's just like, wow, that's a really shocking result. It could be the lack of the Zlatan effect, because obviously Zlatan was an utter legend PSG, banged in literally all the goals. I wouldn't like to name any names as to who they've got up front now, because I quite honestly don't know. But that's a big shock. I still can't see PSG losing the league, but did not expect Monaco to pull that off tonight. Not a chance.
No, of course not. Absolutely not. Well, obviously what I know what Monaco do have a problem is Radamel Falcao, but Radamel Falcao is always injured, so it's like who has to replace him. But anyway, guys, you know, it was a pretty shocking result when it comes to Ligue 1. While Rick comes back, and we could talk about La Liga and the Premier League more in depth, Momo, I'm gonna give you now your shot and start talking about Scottish football, man,
because
I know you have a lot to say when it comes to Scottish football.
Because my teams did not fare well at all at the weekend. The start of the Premiership, Rangers played on Friday night. We were away to Kilmarnock. I play five sides on Friday night, so I came home to many messages on my phone because we managed to go and draw 1-1 with Kilmarnock. Kilmarnock this season are one of the two teams who are hotly tipped to go down. Rangers were apparently garbage, and, well, there's not a lot you can say about that. Our next game is actually Celtic at Parkhead in 2 weeks' time, because next weekend, as you guys I'm sure are aware, is our internationals. And speaking of Celtic, they demolished last season's runners-up Aberdeen 4-1 at their home ground. So that's quite worrying for Aberdeen, who are looking to challenge again for the title, and ourselves, because we want to challenge for the title, or at very, very worst, in our first season back in membership, finish second. Set other relegation favourites, Hamilton and Academical, they managed to beat Ross County 1-0. One of the few teams in Scotland without a win or a point, Inverness Cali Thistle, managed to beat St Johnstone 2-1 in Inverness. Motherwell and Dundee drew 0-0. Partick Thistle went down 2-1 at home to Hearts. So the Scottish Premiership table looks a bit like this. Celtic going top with 9 points, a point behind Rangers, who fall to second. Last season's third place finishers, Hearts, are up to third. Aberdeen, who finished second last season, are way down in seventh. And Cali are bottom of the league on goal difference. Moving on to now to League Two, because as I've said before, I'm only going to do the Premiership and League Two. If anyone wants more information, at OSWTVKev, find me a little tweet and I'll read results for you and do a little bit of research. So, cracking game at Arbroath, who managed to beat Stirling Albion 5-3. Set another cracking game with league favourites Clyde beating Cowdenbeath, also 5-3. Edinburgh City, the new guys in the league this season, the first ever team to win the playoff to get into the league, went down 2-1 at home to Berwick and are still looking for their first points. My boys, Elgin, went down to current league leaders Forfar 3-2, quite upsetting, who are 1-0 and 2-1 up. And finally, it was Montrose 2, Annan Athletic 2. So Forfar stayed top and they have 12 points, 4 wins from 4. My boys, Elgin, fall down to 6th, but only 4 games gone. A very long way to go in the season yet. And we can go on to Champions League in a little while. And that's about it for this week's Scottish Corner.
Can I ask quickly, Kev, do you think that Celtic are just going to want the league?
Awesome.
The Premier League?
Ask me again in 2 weeks, man.
Oh, 2 weeks, right, okay.
In two weeks, it's Celtic versus Rangers at Celtic's ground. right, I've only seen Rangers play twice this season, just through work and stuff like that, you know. A lot of people want, well, I want, obviously we all want to win the league. That's because, as everyone knows, Scottish football, it's Rangers and Celtic, no more, and they've got to win the league. But Rangers have been at the top league for 4 years now. We're coming back in. Celtic have appointed Brendan Rodgers, which is a great appointment, not only for Celtic, but for Scottish football as a whole, because it's a big marquee signing, because Scottish football's garbage. But from what I've heard about Friday night, Rangers need to pull their fingers out and figure out what the hell they're doing on the park, because it was apparently a disgrace. And if we go to Parkhead and play like that, we're going to get tanked 3-0 with ease. So again, ask me in 2 weeks, man. Although if we get beat, don't expect the response to be clean or happy.
So the derby, so obviously the, and I'm guessing you guys call it a derby, is the same time during the Manchester derby, right? It's the same time.
2 weeks.
The Celtic Rangers game and the Man City game. 2 weeks. Yeah, it's during the same time as a Manchester derby. Really quick, guys, before we start and getting into the meat and potatoes of the show, talking about La Liga and the Premier League. As we know, there is an international break coming up this weekend. England have named this video is going on. They have obviously put up their roster rig. And Sam Allardyce has called up Joe Hart, Fraser Foster, Tom Heaton from Burnley will be the goalkeepers for England. Then you have your defenders are Gary Cahill, Nathaniel Klein, Phil Jagielka, Danny Rose, Luke Shaw, Chris Smalling, John Stones, and Kyle Walker. And your midfielder, hold on, trying to get the midfielder. In midfielders, you have Dele Alli, Mikel Antonio, Eric Dyer, Danny Drinkwater, Jordan Henderson, Adam Lallana, Wayne Rooney, Raheem Sterling, Theo Walcott, and finally, you have Harry Kane, Daniel Sturridge, and
one
Jamie Vardy. Does anything shock you when it comes to that England squad to play Slovakia?
The preliminary squad for the World for the Euros, and that's who did you say in midfield? Was it Antonio? That's it. That's the only player that stands out. Apart from that, he's picked exactly the same squad that was in the last one. That was Roy Hodgson.
Mikel Antonio from
which
West
I'm disappointed about. I thought he might have, because he's a qualifier that theoretically we should win with ease. I thought he'd have picked the major players and then sort of gone a bit exciting, but he's gone with the same boring team, and I'm disappointed.
Yeah, but what? At least
he squad before he got cut.
At least he did call.
Really
at least he did call. Danny Drinkwater, and I remember you and I were talking about it in the shit for the Euros. Right, right, but at least he's in the actual squad, and he's not getting cut any time. Like he might actually have a good chance to play. Obviously, we know Danny Leicester haven't started, you know, their season in the best of forms. But I think Danny Drinkwater deserves to actually be on the team. He deserved to be in the Euros last year. Last summer. I know you and I were scratching our heads asking why didn't Danny Drinkwater actually, you know, start. Or not even start, but at least be in the preliminary squad. You know, it was insane. But that's the England squad. They will be facing Slovakia, and we'll see what goes on to that. Obviously, that means the FIFA World Cup qualifiers do start this weekend coming up for Europe. So as we know in South America, they've already been going on. Also in North America, I think Africa as well start off this weekend. But really quick, I'm going to go through the groups, Rick. In Group A, they have Belarus, Bulgaria, France, Luxembourg, Netherlands, and Sweden. That is a tough group. If you look at it, Momo and Rick, Belarus, Bulgaria,
and
France,
Sweden third.
Luxembourg, Netherlands, and Sweden. That is a tough group.
No.
You don't think that's a tough group, though? No? Okay. Group B, you have Andorra, Faroe Islands, Hungary, Latvia, Portugal, and Switzerland. There's no reason why Portugal and Switzerland don't make it out of that group. In Group C, you have Azerbaijan,
yes.
Czech Republic, Germany, Northern Ireland,
look,
Norway,
they,
and San Marino. Can Northern Ireland
Fair
come
enough.
Out of this group, Rick?
If Northern Ireland win the game, lose against Germany, get a draw and a win, or a draw against Norway, they'll go through. It's fine. It's Norway the team that's got to worry about.
They've got a good chance. They did well in the Euros. They've showed a solid side, but it's a tricky group,
Momo?
To be fair.
Group D, Austria, Georgia, Moldova, the Republic of Ireland, Serbia, Wales. It's a little tricky route for Republic of Ireland, man, because of Austria. You know, you have Austria, you have Serbia, obviously
Serbia
Wales. They're
Serbia
in fantastic form. So they do have a pretty tough group for the Republic of Ireland there in Group D. Group E. Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Group E, Armenia, Denmark, Kazakhstan, Montenegro, Poland, and Romania.
Poland
That's a very
Denmark.
Random group. But
yeah,
it should be
Poland and Denmark. Yeah,
Poland and Romania. What do you think? Momo?
Yeah,
Group F, England, Lithuania, Malta, Scotland, Slovakia, Slovenia. I'm sorry, Momo. Scotland is not going to no World Cup.
And England finished fourth. It's going to be hilarious. It's going to be the greatest day ever. But no, seriously, England to win the group.
I guess Slovakia.
I'm thinking Slovakia second and us somehow squeezing a playoff place in third place.
Yeah, to be honest, for me, the third place is the most interesting thing about that. I'd say Slovakia and England finished the top two. I'd say Slovenia or Scotland in third for a playoff. So. All right. Bye bye, Scotland then.
Yeah, but remember, this is the
all
World
right,
Cup.
Well, in that case, we'll finish second.
It's a, second right. place. It's
yeah, you've
impossible.
Got to beat Slovenia and Slovakia. Good luck with that.
Bring it on. I know. I'm, all of them being cocky, I mean, also we've got a great start on Sunday, but we'll wait Malta.
It is.
And that's,
well, well,
that's
it's
three
very
points
hard,
guaranteed.
Man.
But I mean,
it's very, very hard, hard, dude.
Yeah, it'll be a 1-0 win, no enough, because that's what we're like. We'll grind out and score like the 85th minute. Mm. But, like, I mean, going away to places like Slovakia and Slovenia is just going to be a bloody nightmare because we do not fare well. We might do what we did last time again. We got ourselves into a fantastic position. We manoeuvred the hard games and survived. And then all we had to do was go away to Georgia and not lose. And we bloody lost again. And that just cocked the whole thing up.
Hey, Georgia are a big team.
Settle.
Italy, Spain, dragon.
Group G, guys. Albania, Spain. Macedonia, Israel, Italy, Liechtenstein, Spain. There's no reason why Italy and Spain. Huh? And Spain, just so you guys know, remember, there's no more Vicente del Bosque, so we'll see. How they fare with their new manager and the new era and players, because a lot of them they're retired from the Spanish national team. So, but it's, they should still make it through, and they should win the group. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Group H: Belgium, Bosnia, Cyprus, Estonia, Gibraltar, Greece.
Unless anyone thinks Cyprus. Think
Rick, I'm going with Belgium and Bosnia, dude.
Cyprus. Yeah.
Cyprus is going to do it.
Despite Belgium's poor performance, because I backed them as dark horses.
You agree with the sentiment,
like,
Momo? Belgium and Bosnia? And then finally, Group I: Croatia, Finland, Iceland.
I'm going Iceland, Kosovo, Turkey.
Ukraine, Turkey. God, I hate choosing Croatia.
Just to troll Mr. Powers, anyone but Croatia.
I'm going Croatia, Iceland.
Damn right.
Momo?
Yeah, we'll just stir up a little tension with the bot.
So you want Kosovo to go over Croatia?
I like about a controversy.
Alright, and then just so you guys know, we're speaking of qualifiers really quick. South America as a club will qualify itself September 1st. You have Bolivia, Peru, Colombia, Venezuela, Ecuador, Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, Chile. Rick, really quick, how do you have Bolivia and Peru? I know those are two of your favorites in South American nations. Peru third. Peru third. And Peru right now are eighth in qualifying. Have lost their last three. So Peru's going to be third, dude. And then finally, on Tuesday, September 6th, you have Venezuela, Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, Chile, Bolivia, the big one, Brazil versus Colombia, Peru versus Ecuador. And just what happened?
Sorry.
I remember what happened the last time in an actually competitive, not Olympic stage, when Brazil and Colombia played. Just remember it came out on
Never!
Top row. Boom! That's what I...
Let it sink in, mate. Let it sink in.
Here we go. When's the last time Colombia won a World Cup?
Colombia have won the same amount of World Cups as Peru. Just let that sink in.
And you still hold on. You still hold on to the 1966. Anyway, so that's World Cup qualifiers. That is World Cup qualifiers for South America, as well as we know there's North American qualifiers. So I believe that we will win. The United States of America do also have some sort of qualifier, and I think they're facing El Salvador or something like that. Oh, Trinidad and Tobago, which, by the way, this is my sentiments go out to my sentiments really do go out to Clint Dempsey, guys. He was diagnosed with a regular heartbeat. So he will be out for the World Cup qualifiers, and he will also be out for the Seattle Sounders for the foreseeable time. In fact, it could even be that he might have to be retiring, forcefully retiring. And that kind of does suck, though, Rick, when it comes to, like, you know, an athlete based on a condition that he has to go ahead and retire. So my sentiments, at least, do go out to Clint Dempsey, even though he is from the United States of America, Momo.
Never take drugs.
And I show you that commercial about soccer is here. You saw it.
Trying to antagonize me.
So.
Don't take drugs, kids. Don't take drugs. That's all I'm saying.
I know, but you brought it up again.
Remember, kids, don't take drugs. That's all I'm going to
Hey, you saw the commercial, dude. Anyway, guys, let's continue on. Let's talk about La Liga. Let's get into La Liga so we finally close out the show with Champions League. Excuse me, and the Premier League. All right, Rick, so it started off, obviously, on Friday. Real Betis 0, Deportivo La Coruña 0, Espanyol 2, and Malaga 2. Saturday, we had Osasuna 0, Real Sociedad 2. Mm-hmm. And again, this is the first thing that we have to point out. Valencia, Momo, you and I talked about it, very briefly on our last show. But Valencia, once again, they lost to Eibar 1-0. And now Valencia sit in 20th place.
Yeah.
20th place. Yeah, maybe, okay.
Let's go with
5.
Let's be kind. I'm being kind to the guys. They've been a mess, and it's not really a surprise. So I think they're going to have a season where they struggle. I still think they'll stay up in the first league, but it's not looking good for them. So, yeah.
Well, let's end Thursday. It's not.
Yeah, my boy. It seems like
a portion of blame
ever
there.
Ever since Gary Neville took over,
but,
Valencia just has gone
down
the drain.
A couple of years ago, there was all these stories about them going bankrupt and having no money, this and the next thing. And then some guy bought them over, and then they were fine, and they weren't fine. Then, you know, it's not like, Gary Neville was never a manager. We all saw that. And like we discussed in the show the other day, you know, it was like he won 2 out of the 16 games or whatever, and he got humped by Barcelona, which was the final nail in his coffin. But Valencia had these problems for years. Gary Neville just was a deepening of problems that were already there. And as we can see, they're sitting about league table from it now. Okay, obviously, we're only 2 games in the season. It's early doors. But they're bottom. They've got no points. And they've scored 2 goals, but they've lost 5 goals. So, yeah, that's not good.
All right, let's go ahead and continue on, guys. Then we had Real Madrid 2, Celta Vigo 1. This is the other big one, guys. And again, I know he's going to say something, so I'm bearing with it. Atletico Madrid 0, Leganes 0. This
team,
is two back-to-back
struggling
draws
against,
for Atletico Madrid, Rick.
And
these are against newly promoted teams,
that
man.
That push for the title charge is really going well for them.
Yeah, it's so hard to say because Spanish league out with
Momo?
The top 3 is so competitive. It's such early days. But then you look at Las Palmas, they're top of the league. They scored 9 goals. They scored 9 goals in 2 games. Not even Barca have done that this season yet. But like I say, it's early days. You know, Las Palmas will now probably free fall. And you've got likes of Leganes, who are sitting 6th, who are also unbeaten, so got 4 points. I mean, it's 2 games in, you know, guys. I mean, there's so much more time to go. I wouldn't like to call a bottom 3 right now, but I can see Leganes being down there along with Eibar and your Valencias and your Celta Vigo and your Granada and your Osasunas and that, you know. But, you know, I could be wrong. It's early days. Anything can happen. There's 36 games to go. Just don't know.
Yeah, and I'm sure that Atletico Madrid, I apologize for the noise in the background. But I believe that that's going to do it. It is a team that definitely finished top three. The other one, though, Momo, was Las Palmas 5 out of 1, dude. And now Las Palmas top of the league.
Yeah, they just got promoted. So
it's ridiculous. That's it. A team that's brand new to the league. Okay, they've shipped 3 goals in 2 games, which is obviously, by anyone's standards, isn't good. But they've scored 9 in 2 games. That's ridiculous.
Which to me says that they just go all out attack. We've got a plan, guys. We're going to go out. We're going to score as many goals as possible. Who cares how many we concede? As long as we score one more than them, we'll win this game. And it's a great idea. It's working for them. So.
All right, mate. I'll make one. Settle.
Yeah, very true. But what do you? I mean, obviously, Las Palmas is a team that definitely is relegation bound, though. It obviously happens when the league starts.
Maybe.
However, I just don't see Las Palmas keeping up, you know, with the pace of the big boys, and I see them dropping down rapidly. Maybe even after this international break, though.
Maybe the players can get a rest, but who knows what happens.
I'm sorry, repeat that again. Yeah, very true. All right, guys, let's continue on. Deportivo Alaves 0, Sporting Gijón 0. And then there was another game on today, which I watched. Rick was telling me about it. Barcelona 1, Athletic Club, the Bilbao 0. It was a terrible game, though. Very bad game, Rick.
Once they got the first goal, though, I thought Barcelona would get 2 or 3. They just seemed to sit back, and we're just very happy just taking the 1-0 and did a lot of rolling around, and if this is the new Barcelona, I'm already bored of them. I don't want to see them rolling around, and I want to see them passing the ball and attacking, and not much of that was happening on tonight's game.
Yeah, I only seen the last 5 minutes of the game, but like I say, you know, Bob, like you guys both said, sorry, Bob, that was a difficult place to go. You know, it's like a Catalan derby as such, so it's not an easy place to go. It doesn't matter how good or bad Bilbao are. And you've only got to look to last season. Bilbao beating Barcelona in the Spanish Super Cup shows you that regardless of how good or bad they may be domestically, when it comes to one-off games like that, they can do the business. So,
all right, let's continue on, guys. And right now, we have Villarreal 0, Sevilla 0. We know Villarreal did get knocked out of the Champions League this past week against Monaco. Sevilla, they have been drawn to the group with Juventus again, Rick.
But again,
based on what
Sevilla
I'm seeing on this game, 70 minutes in, it seems like it'll be a stalemate between Villarreal and Sevilla.
Push after Christmas period, but I don't know. Villarreal expect to finish mid-table and Sevilla to top for push for fourth or fifth. So,
yeah, like I said the other day, I think Sevilla will probably be top four side again. But then they'll probably get themselves knocked out of the Champions League on purpose because they seem to be the only team interested in the Europa League.
All right, and based off of that, just so you guys know, the tables for even though only 2 weeks in for La Liga, Real Madrid first place, Las Palmas second, Barcelona third, Deportivo La Coruña fourth, Sporting Gijón fifth, Leganés sixth, Sevilla seventh, Eibar eighth, Real Sociedad ninth, and then Atletico Madrid in 10th. Then you have Alaves, Malaga, Villarreal, Granada, Espanyol, Osasuna, Real Betis, Athletic Club, Celta de Vigo, and Valencia round out the La Liga table. All right, guys, now it's time to get into the Premier League, and what a weekend in the Premier League it was. Especially some of these score lines. I have to start it off with Manchester United versus Hull City. I didn't get to watch the game yesterday. I did have it on my app, but I was at work, so I kept on glancing on it. And Rick, it was the same old Jose Mourinho in this game, at least a little bit that I saw between Hull and Man United. Man United obviously drawing back. They weren't attacking. and just playing very Jose Mourinho. And then late in the game, 94th minute, Marcus Rashford nails it in, and Man United beat Hull 1-0. This is your new Manchester United, man. Unfortunately, they're going to win games like that. I mean,
Pogba's a fantastic signing. But, I think Zlatan's also a very good signing for a free transfer.
Very boring.
I just haven't found them to be very entertaining to watch. I don't think United fans are going to get a lot of excitement out of them, but I think they'll win games, and I think they'll be in the top four, maybe two or three. They could, you know, on a shout, they might win the league. They have to do very well, but I don't know. I'll be interested to see what happens when the derby comes up in 2 weeks' time. City will either run riot over them, or it'll be a very cagey game, which United could win. Because United are very good defensively. That's the main thing. Defensively, with every Jose Mourinho team, they don't concede goals. And they're able to nick goals left, you know, and they got a goal at the end of the game. So, good luck to them. But it's not exciting football to watch. But I guess if United fans will be happy because they're winning games. And as long as they win games, it keeps them near the top of the table. So they're happy.
Momo, is it the same Manchester United last year, or how they were just grind out games? Or has Jose Mourinho had a special touch that is still going to be defensively?
That's right, I didn't see that.
But it's still the same old boring Man United.
The Bournemouth game I saw, they weren't spectacular, they weren't anything special, but they looked better. You know, they looked more confident, they looked more able to do things when they had the ball, as opposed to last year when you watched them under Van Gaal. I mean, they just looked nervous all the time. Like when they're going forward, it was like, have I got enough players around me to spread the passes around and try and get a attempt on goal here? But then on the flip side of that was, oh, are we exposed at the back? Because, you know, Van Gaal, as much as he likes to play defence, he likes to put players forward as well. And it just, the players look so nervy. This year they look a lot calmer, they look more interested, they look happy to be there playing for Mourinho, playing for the club. And you've got to remember, we're only three games into the season. You know, Manu will, again, obviously they're coming good just now because they're only third by virtue of a goal. But when you think about it, the real tests will be when you get Manu, Chelsea, Manu, Man City, potentially Manu, Spurs, if Spurs start doing something decent. Manu, Liverpool will get their finger at the backside and start producing a better form. Man U, Arsenal, that'll be 7-0 Man Unite, Man U, because Arsenal are terrible, but hey-ho, no one cares about that. You know, like when the big games come through, like the derbies, you know, City, Liverpool, and away to Chelsea, that's when you'll see the real Man United and we'll know whether or not they're good enough to handle the heat of the title race.
All right, let's go ahead and continue on. We had Tottenham 1, Liverpool 1, which was the early game yesterday morning. And that was a fantastic game, guys. I was very entertained with the game. You know, obviously we saw a totally different team with Jurgen Klopp in terms of their loss against Burnley last weekend. You know, looking at Liverpool, and I'm going to focus on Liverpool really quick. Offensively, they are absolutely fantastic. However, defensively, they still have a lot of defensive woes. And unfortunately, their goalkeeper, Simon Mignolet, doesn't do them any favors. We do know that they signed the keeper from, I believe it was Mainz, who used to play under Jurgen Klopp about 6 years ago, came from the academy's Karius. However, he's out with a broken hand. Yes, he does have obviously the replacement in hand. He's just waiting to nurse it. But Simon Mignolet is a goal. he lets goals pretty much, and very easy goals at that, walk in. However, Liverpool, going up front, guys, they are very, very tough. They are very, they have a lot of star power. However, defensively, I think that's what's really going to keep Liverpool from really advancing.
They rightly had a second goal called for offside. To win the Premier League, I've seen the replay. It was offside. It wasn't much, but it was offside. I completely agree defensively. They're garbage because Burnley tore them to shreds last week. There's no debate in that. Burnley were just above and beyond what Liverpool were producing last weekend. And
rightfully and deservedly tore Liverpool apart and won the game. Spurs weren't great yesterday, but Spurs are always traditionally slow starters. So again, so early, we can't really read anything into it. But to be fair, Liverpool, they probably were more deserving of the 3 points yesterday. But in the end, the draw, you know, I mean, defensively, again, it's cost Liverpool, but that's football.
Yeah, same sentiments, Kev. I totally agree.
Very true. Rick? All right. Chelsea 3, Burnley 0. Nothing special on that when it comes to Burnley's performance. Obviously, they are the newly promoted teams. I still think they don't look too bad. Obviously, but against bigger oppositions like your, you know, like your Chelsea's, Man United's, Man City's, Burnley will be playing the way that they played against Chelsea. However, when it comes to Chelsea, guys, Eden Hazard is a player that has completely revamped under Antonio Conte. I believe he already has 3 goals already into the bag within the last 3 games in the Premier League. Willian is a revelation. Diego Costa, you know, he does what he has to do. I'm liking what Antonio Conte has done with his Chelsea side. It's like they have rechristened that team, lifted that team from what they were last year, Rick.
Better team, better defensively. They know what the players' positions. They know what they're meant to be doing. And if Diego Costa can stop himself from getting banned for 4 or 5 games, I think they should be fine.
Yeah, didn't see the highlights last night because I ended up doing something. I can't remember what I did last night. But I heard they weren't fantastic against Watford, but did the job. I think against same Man United, you know, a lot of people think, oh, same old Chelsea, they're quite poor like they were last season. They're going to come good. Hazard, I've heard, is looking like he was 2 years ago, not like the unconfident new guy in the squad that he looked like last year, even though he clearly wasn't new. And with a couple of, again, with the signing or two they've made, Chelsea will come good. I don't know if it'll be good enough to win the league because I still think it's between Man United and Man City. But, you know, they will come good, mark my words. I don't know when, but they will come good. Trust me on that one.
Let's continue on, guys. Crystal Palace 1, Bournemouth 1. It actually took the 94th minute for Crystal Palace to come back and actually salvage a point over at Selhurst Park. I really thought that Bournemouth were going to go up and Eddie Howe was going to get their first win of the season. Well, Crystal Palace came around and were able to go ahead and stop them at a 1-1 draw. Everton 1, Stoke 0. And then finally, Leicester, the champions. They finally got their first win under the belt, guys. Jamie Vardy has resurmerged into glory and was able to finally get his first goal of the 2016-2017 season as Leicester defeated Swansea 2-1. However, it didn't seem like it was such a game that was memorable.
Maybe the preseason. I mean, they didn't win a lot of games in preseason. They've got Champions League football to think of this season as well, I guess. I don't think they'll be this season the team that they were last season. So. They might struggle this year, but I might be wrong. I mean, they might boost on a bit, but they seem to be struggling at the gates at the start of the season.
Yeah, but don't you? I mean, but based on what you're saying, and I'm not saying that they're going to get relegated, but.
6th, 7th, 8th.
On your tone, Rick, I feel like you almost think that Leicester will finish maybe in the 12th to 15th place.
Like I said the other day, they're not going to win the league. I think
that's fine. Mama, I mean, how do you see Leicester finishing up the season, especially after how the season started up?
Mid-table, they won't qualify for Europe. They'll be a solid mid-table, don't get me wrong, but they will not qualify for Europe. I think the demands of the Champions League and defending the title will be far too much for them, so I'm going to go mid-table.
Well, we'll see what happens on that. Then we have Southampton 1, Sunderland 1. David Moyes' first points with Sunderland. Watford 1, Arsenal 3. Nothing really special about that game.
You say that,
though,
but
right?
I just put those two in our first show back.
I do have a feeling that Watford are going to be one of the teams that are going to get relegated this year.
And also, you've got to take the teams that have been promoted, so there's only three teams can go down. So I think Watford might be able to slip out of it and stay away from the relegation. So
nah, I don't know about Southampton. Awesome. I think.
Whoopie-doo. You know, this will be Arsenal fans giving it.
What a lot of Liverpool fans give it. This is our year. It's not going to be your panic buys. Arsenal finally get their first win.
Your squad isn't good enough. You need to accept that, you know, this year fourth place might actually be just that little bit too far out of reach. And that's not me just trying to troll certain people from Flock Football. It's because I genuinely believe that Arsenal's comeuppance, which has been coming for a long time in terms of finishing fourth and celebrating like they've won the league when they finish fourth, is finally going to bite them on the ass. And I think this year could potentially be the year they don't qualify for Champions League.
I'm giving a standing ovation because, you know, you're saying what we're all thinking.
That's not, is it? They're not going to pass the round of 16 because they never do. They haven't done for the past 5 years, if memory serves. And this year is year number 6. They don't do it.
So Arsenal,
and this could be year number 1 of Arsenal
year,
not
then.
Being in the Champions
Unless
League.
They win it.
Because
Unless
I'll tell you what,
Champions
right
League.
Now, Man City, Man U, and Chelsea are nailed on for top 4. There's only one other Champions League place. I don't think Arsenal will get it. I think Liverpool.
Yeah, I'd go with Liverpool for that fourth place. So, yeah.
If they sort defensive issues out, consistency is also an issue, but then that's something that Arsenal lack as well. But I'd say defensively, Liverpool are just that little bit better than Arsenal.
I'm going with Spurs. I think Spurs are a better team than Liverpool at the moment, but that's just me.
Yes and no.
What about
problem
Spurs
have got is that Harry Kane is a very slow starter. And again, referencing the podcast I listen to quite religiously, they do quite a lot of analysing stats and things like that. Harry Kane has never scored in August. He's always scored in September. So, I mean, obviously, you know, it's the same points that are won throughout the season and the points all count. But that could be a big factor.
On the positive, August is the shortest month in the Premier League season, so that's a bonus. Well, apart from
it is, yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's continue on, guys. West Brom 0, Middlesbrough 0. That was this morning. It had to be the most boring 0-0 draw. Nothing, and I'm talking about nothing, really happened in that game between the Baggies and the Borough. In fact, I want to read you guys the stats just so you guys can feel the pain that I watched this morning. It was 46% possession for West Bromwich Albion, 54 for Middlesbrough, and they each just had one shot on target. That was 90 minutes of that. One shot on target. That was really
good. Okay, let me sum it up as quickly as possible. City were really good in the first 45 minutes. So it was fantastic.
We finally got into
the
main
scene,
Rick. You were at the Etihad, 3-1 winners over West Ham
United. Match performance.
Floor is yours, man, because I know you have a lot to say when it comes to this.
In a big, big way. They had nobody to control the midfield. And I think, I might be wrong, but I think in the first half they had two shots. They really struggled. Second half, City decided to come out and sit back and just sit on the lead. Never understand it. I don't know why they're going to go for a third or fourth goal and kill the game off completely. But instead, they sat back, conceded a stupid goal, which we should never have conceded. And then got a Raheem Sterling, scored a nice third goal right near the end. I'm not having a go at West Ham, but it was an easy win for City today. It was very easily won.
It definitely was Momo if you watch the game. And you know what I'm liking about Pep Guardiola, though, Rick, is how Pep Guardiola is now – the formation has definitely changed the squad around. Before under before under Manuel Pellegrini, we would play a 4-5-1. But right now we're playing a 4-3-3 wide, you know, with Clichy, Otamendi, John Stones, and Sabaleta. And then we have De Bruyne sitting behind Sterling, Fernandinho sitting behind Aguero, and David Silva sitting behind Nolito. The wild card for me – to be honest with you, in this team is Nolito. What I've seen of the last three weeks, Rick, from Nolito has been absolutely fantastic. A player that doesn't mind getting in your face. He doesn't mind challenging for the ball. He has great speed. I think this is probably one of our best signings that we've had in recent years, man.
Every single goal that City have scored so far this season, whether it's scoring it or whether it's being assisting in it, him and Raheem Sterling have assisted or scored the goals that every goal that we've scored so far this season, which is a big stat. I know we haven't played many games, but Nolito's involved in everything. So I'm a big fan of him so far, and we've still got players still to come into the team, so it's looking good.
And really quick on West Ham's West Ham's side, like you said, Dimitri Payet, we know he's been injured, definitely missing Dimitri Payet. However, one signing that really caught my my mind for West Ham was Jonathan Carrieri. He's coming from Boca Juniors. He's on loan from Boca over now at West Ham. Came in the 78th minute for Winston Reid. Really, I thought that he was going to be able to dominate a little bit more and start pushing forward. However, West Ham, they just look flustered. They look like they look with a team without no identity whatsoever. Then that's when you had Raheem Sterling in the 94th minute come in and back that 3-1. I was talking to you while this game was going on. Obviously,
never mind you. Never mind your cups.
So far, your fair assessment on Pep Guardiola the last three weeks.
You know yourself, you guys were really struggling to qualify for Champions League last year. Obviously, he's got there in the end, but you know, finishing fourth, given your spending power and the squad you had, simply wasn't good enough, but that's the way it was. Guardiola has come in, and I love Pep Guardiola because I love Barcelona. I loved what he did in Barcelona. I love to watch Barcelona. If he can instill the same mentality he did at Barcelona, I could quite see me going out of my way to watch Man City. I don't go out of my way to watch teams unless it's Rangers on TV, or if I'm off and I'm going to an Elgin City game. If it's on, I'm off, I'll watch it. If I'm not doing anything else, you know, I won't go out my way to watch another team. But if Man City play with that wee bit of flair and that wee bit of pizzazz that Pep gave Barca and then gave Bayern, I will happily go out my way to watch that, because it's a damn good brand of football and it's worth watching. Oh, yeah, I completely agree, man. It's not because you're being biased. The team, the three games and the highlights I've seen this season compared to the team for last season is night and day.
Definitely what we're seeing out of Man City, not because I support them. It's just that they're totally, completely different. Totally different team.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with money.
Yep. Yeah, and it shows. It shows the difference between Pep Guardiola and former boss Manuel Pellegrini, which, by the way, shout out to Manuel Pellegrini, though, Rick. He has taken a job in the Chinese Super League. Woohoo! Right? For real. Nothing when it comes to do with money. Absolutely 100%. Really quick, guys, before we go ahead and get out of here, I want to talk really quick about the UEFA Champions League draw. Obviously, we did this show without Rick. On there, but Group A, why are you laughing? What's so funny?
Yeah, it's just about who finishes top. I personally think PSG will finish top of the group.
Okay, all right, hold on. All right, Group A, Arsenal, Bayern, Ludogorets, Paris Saint-Germain. There's no reason why Arsenal and PSG don't make it out of the group break. There's just no reason why. Yeah, I agree. But FC Bayern could definitely they could give you a run for your money in terms of like when they're in Switzerland. They are. It is St. Jacob Park is a very tough park
like
to go to.
I'd like to see Napoli and Benfica get out.
I'm not saying that they're gonna top Arsenal, but I think they could definitely make them struggle. In Group B, guys, Benfica, Besiktas, Dynamo Kiev, and Napoli. Rick, any surprises on that? You think? Or?
Benfica.
Who else did you say, sorry?
Benfica.
Yeah, Kiev and Benfica. Benfica, decent pedigree, but they always seem to struggle a little bit when in the group stages of Champions League. So I think it'll be a tight two-horse race for second place behind Napoli, team N2.
Which means you've got to play the qualifying rounds. You know what, Momo, you're laughing. Lincoln Redims of Gibraltar.
They lost the first leg 1-0. This team are part-time. They lost 1-0. They took them back to Parkhead and only won 3-0. They then played Astana of Kazakhstan, and if memory serves, it was 3-2 on aggregate. Don't quote me, I can't quite remember. Yeah. And then in the third playoff round, they narrowly, and I mean narrowly, got past of Israeli unknowns Hapoel Be'er Sheva. Beat them 5-2 at Parkhead, and I was like, ah, okay, that's fine, they're going to go through. But then on Tuesday night, I was sitting reading the Sky Sports commentary on my phone, and it was literally Hapoel chance, save Craig Gordon, Hapoel chance, Hapoel corner. They won 2-0, but by rights, Celtic should be in the Europa League. But the draw was made. I came home from work on Thursday, got told the draw, and I laughed my ass off. I don't care what people say, but the year that Celtic managed to beat Barcelona with their 11% possession and their two shots on target that both went in, they're going to get humped. Barcelona will hump them home and away. Man City will hump them at the Etihad. They might somehow get a jammy draw at Parkhead because it's Celtic and they have got a ridiculously good home form. But away from home, they're god-awful. Gladbach, they might even squeeze a win. I can't see it at home. I see a draw away. I know, but it's Celtic. Their home form is ridiculous. I hate to say it, but it's ridiculously good. Away from home, they're going to get no points. And no, not just for the good as well. Because then the coefficient relies on the club itself from a certain year, from a couple of years' time. I don't really care anymore. It's not for the good of Scottish football. I hope they'll get humped. No points. Loads of goals conceded. Out of Europe. Goodbye. Thank you. Ha.
Well, okay. If you look at the way the draw's been made,
Rick,
I like the fact that
we've
got Celtic,
you know,
last
Barcelona,
game in the group
familiar,
at home.
A familiar foe,
so
as well
can,
as
you know,
Borussia Mönchengladbach under this Pep Guardiola. Do you think we have a chance against this Barcelona squad?
As Mauro said, I think Celtic away is going to be a tough game. I'd take a 1-0 win or a draw. I really would. I'd just take the draw and go with it. Same with Barcelona away, I'd take the draw. At home, I'd try and beat Barcelona. I believe that we can beat Borussia Mönchengladbach away and beat them at home. So I think we'll finish second in the group. Barcelona will walk this group, I think. It's between us and it's between City and Barcelona. I still expect Barcelona to walk the group. And what will happen is City will finish second, get Real Madrid or some mega team in the second round, like we always do. So, you know, it's what I've come to expect. But I expect Celtic to finish rock bottom in the group, probably with no points. So we'll see. Oh, damn right. I think Borussia Mönchengladbach are a very good team. I think they're underestimated. I mean, they should have beaten us at our place last season. Obviously, we battered them at their place, but they should have beaten us at our place. I think they're a very, very good team. And they're a lot better than Celtic. Any
so
Celtic fan out there who thinks
to
that they're going
to
do anything
the
in the Champions League.
Gotcha.
Well, I think they've got... I think, fantastic. You know, I think they've been smoking a bit of the ganja because I just can't see it. But yeah, good luck to Celtic. I mean, the group couldn't have been worse for them because it is the group of death. And even as a City fan, I was annoyed at getting Barcelona again, but, you know, that's the way it is, so, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, guys, sorry, just jumping again. Gladbach did thump Young Boys 9-2 on aggregate.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the Swiss League is nothing special, but beating any team 9-2 over two legs is pretty damn impressive.
That's sometimes how it
goes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. I mean, 9-2 over two legs. Not even, you know, Barcelona won't beat anybody in that group 9-2 over two legs. Or anyone this season over two games in the league 9-2.
I'll be Celtic.
Hey, Gladbach's a great squad, legs, though.
I'm going to go with Celtic. And Barcelona Celtic. Celtic. I'm going with it.
As much as that would make me laugh and give me so much ammunition from one of my friends at work, I can't see it happening that badly.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
All right, guys, let's continue on. Atletico Madrid, Bayern Munich, PSV, and Rostov, newcomers to the Champions League.
No, this I don't think it is. I don't think Moscow are that good a team. The only thing Moscow have got is when you go away to them.
There's just no other way.
Yeah. That's it.
I think this is the real
Moscow baseball. I think Monaco, I know they want to snag against PSG. I don't think Monaco are all that great.
CSK Moscow, Monaco,
I really do.
And Tottenham. That's a tough group.
I think they'll finish second.
Completely agree with it.
But then again, nothing. Even last season, Bayern Leverkusen, I think they finished third in the Champions League group. They were terrible.
What about Bayern Leverkusen?
Let's be honest, guys. The group of death is Barcelona, City, Borussia Mönchengladbach, and Celtic. That is the group of death.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were. You're right. 2 years ago, you remember they went over two legs with Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, so it should be. So Sporting Lisbon will come out of that second, and Real Madrid will finish first.
Yeah.
Borussia.
Next group, guys: Borussia Dortmund, Legia Warsaw, Real Madrid, and Sporting Lisbon. There's no reason why Dortmund and Real Madrid don't walk in this group.
Honestly, right, I could really see Dortmund messing this up. Let me just say, I would expect Real Madrid to finish top, Dortmund to finish second. City, right? Dortmund to finish top, because I really want City to finish second behind Barcelona and get Dortmund. I would love to go back to Dortmund. I'd love that place. It was so much fun. It's not going to happen.
You're crazy.
What I would love to see
is crazy.
Well, Dortmund mess it up, finish third, Sporting finish second, Dortmund drop back into the Europa League again. Yeah, of course. But I would love Dortmund to finish top. And then they've got a chance facing City, because I cannot see City finishing above Barcelona. I would love Dortmund in the next round. So good.
Yeah, the reason why you would do that is so you could rub it in my face. I know that's the reason why you want to do that.
Yeah. So let's not say where they're going to finish. Let's say Leicester get out of the group. Who else do you think gets out of that group?
Group G, Club Brugge, Copenhagen, Leicester, Porto. Nope. Easy group for Leicester.
I'm thinking
guys.
Club Brugge.
I
watched Porto last season.
Games,
but
I think
great.
It's a
they
group
were pretty disappointed.
That's attainable for Leicester.
No. So, I don't know, man. I think Club Brugge on that one. It's out of Club Brugge or Porto, but I think Leicester should get out of that group. I really do. Yes.
And they weren't great at
because
the
first they've really good at counter attacking. And I think they'll counterattack on European teams, and I think they should be better than them. So.
They'll be more settled by the time.
Well, will Leicester win the group is the question. Really?
You've got a manager that's got European experience as well. So.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to go to Portugal and get a win. But I mean, then again, strange things have happened. You look at Rangers, obviously, this is 11 years ago.
I just don't see them being
we went to
Porto
and drew 1-1 and beat them 3-2 at Ibrox. This is only a year removed from them winning the Champions League. I know it's completely different times and completely different squads, but Leicester can go to Porto and get a draw, and that would be enough. And win.
It's all about your home games. You win your home games, you get out of the group. Simple.
Completely agree, man.
And finally, guys,
It's
the last group is Dynamo Zagreb, Juventus, Olympic Lyon, and Sevilla. That's probably some team ain't going to do nothing. Champions League.
They go there, they get the 25 million for being in group stages.
It's a tough group. I mean, obviously Juventus are favourite competition that nobody else cares about,
so we're going to win again.
Very, very competitive.
You heard it here first. Sevilla will get knocked out and finish third because they love the Europa League. But they've got to make their money somehow, so that's why they're going to group stages, to get their money from broadcasting rights and then their, you know, their television deals and points for winning games, etc.
Well, boys, they've got the money for Champions League.
We'll go and just romp the Europa League and gain automatic qualification again.
Sevilla will get out of the group. That group does not interest me. We had them last season, so Juventus will get out of the group. They'll win it. Sevilla will
Rick,
be second.
You have anything to say?
Then Juventus will get through after the next round, and then Sevilla will get knocked out immediately after the group stage. So,
Juventus winning the group.
Really quick, guys, before I get in and out of here,
In the Europa League, I just want to go through some of these groups. I'm not going to go through all of them. Obviously, Group A, which is a group of death in the Europa League, Man United, Feyenoord, Fenerbahce,
3 years old,
and Soria. I have never heard of Soria before. However, it's a tough.
Fenerbahce will do nothing. Zoya, whoever the hell they are.
Obviously the big talking point in that tie is Robin Van Persie going back to Old Trafford.
Final. Well, ooh, actually, oh, wait a minute.
I'm gonna change
what I said. Okay, yeah, Fenerbahce or Feyenoord, because Dutch football is really struggling today. So yeah, I would say so.
Feyenoord. Yeah. All right.
You know what? If Southampton actually went for this, I don't think they will. If Southampton actually had a go, I think they'll get out of the group. Inter Milan have been awful.
And Rick, really
they
quick, Southampton have been drawn with Sparta Praha, Inter,
they're not winning
Papal,
games.
Bershat,
Sheva,
been
awful.
Almost
so
like
I think
that
Southampton
Celtic
could win this
the
group if they actually put something into it. But I don't think they will. I think they'll do exactly what Momo said about Sevilla. I think they'll turn up, piss around, and just do what they want, and just get a load of money out of it, and then leave. And that's, I think, what they'll do.
Yeah, I agree. I think we'd be too worried about trying to balance domestic commitments with European commitments. Because, well, who's Southampton manager now that Coleman's away?
Oh, he's
you feel the same way about Sevilla, Momo? I mean, Southampton.
Yeah, he's an Italian. Some random guy. Can't speak a word of English, anyway.
Well, you'll set him up defensively. And because we're not a defensive team, because they're playing the Premiership, they'll get pumped and they'll get knocked out, even though, like you say, if they go for it, they'll win the group. I completely agree with that. If they go for it, maybe Inter will settle by then, but if they go for it, they'll qualify.
But you got to think, what's more important, Premier League or Europa League?
Well, it's Premier League, isn't it? Because you get your 100 millions, so...
Yeah, so...
Right. All right, guys. Well, we're going to go ahead and get out of here now. Obviously, we will be back next week. Don't forget the Solon Sports, Fox Sports 1340 AM Hopewell, Monday through Friday. Mike Knox, I'll be there. Also, the crew, James, Chris, Wale, and Micah. tomorrow, we'll be talking, obviously, WWE, Monday Night Raw. Preview, and then we'll be talking all the other stuff with NBA, NFL starting up, and all that good stuff. I'm sure Rick cannot wait for the NFL to start, as his Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's see how they actually do this season.
Yes.
Wait, what'd you say? Chargers are trash, dude. They are trash. Tony Romo, by the way, Rick, he's out for 6 to 10 weeks. Again. So just putting that out there. But anyway, guys, like I said, we'll be back again next week. Andy hopefully will be back next week. I know. Actually, you know what? No. Next week we're not on. Why? Because it's international break. You know, so for international breaks, we won't be back. So we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Obviously discussing more of the Premier League. I'm sure Rick, after the derby, he's going to want to say some stuff about the game.
No, the Elgin game as well, because Elgin's at home that day, so I'll be there.
I'm sure Momo will also be hanging on to his Rangers versus Celtic game next Saturday as well. You're going to the game. Oh, okay. All right. So definitely. And guys, I just want to let you know that at the end of October, I'll probably be doing this podcast alongside with Rick and Andy in the same room, in a studio.
You can be over here with Dortmund, bottom of the league. Oh, the excitement.
So there might actually be punches thrown around when me and Rick actually discuss the Bundesliga.
You can find me at
don't
Rick
forget you can catch us
on
Twitter page, also on
any questions, give me a shout.
BDSIR Network,
any questions about football, the show, just give me a
that's
shout.
Where we roast Powers and we roast Alex and all
yeah, on
stuff.
The Twitter at OSWTF.
Rick, where can they find you again on Twitter?
Again, same with Rick, any questions about anything, fire them my way. As you all know, I'm the Scottish football guy, so anything I talk about the Scottish football, I'm your man.
All right. And Momo?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And anything when it comes to Colombian and Argentinian football, you guys can let me know. All right?
Name me a Colombian side.
Well, you know, the Argentine League is the best league in South America. Let's be honest. It really is. I mean, there's nothing better than a Boca Juniors.
Momo, you ever heard of this team? Nacional? Never heard of them.
You guys know who River Plate and Boca Juniors are. Don't be giving me that, all right?
Stop making these teams up.
You already know who it is. We're the current champions of South America. Atlético Nacional are the current champions of South America. And we're going to Japan,
I'll take that
all right?
Bet. I'll take
that bet.
You'll be seeing them on your TV screens when we're facing Real Madrid. When we're facing Real Madrid in the final of the Club World Cup, and we'll be beating the crap out of them. All right. All right. What? That we're gonna beat Real Madrid?
Well, we'll see.
We might have some sort of forfeit or something.
He was going to go to China, but he said, no, I'm going to stick my roots. I'm going to Colombia.
No. We have a bar.
I know he is, but, you know.
Well, all I'm going to say is, in the words of the New Day, whoo, whoo, whoo.
Embargo is an Italian verb. Ibarbo is an Italian football legend. It's quick. So, all right. You got jokes. Anyway, guys, for Rick, Momo, Andy, wherever the hell he is, and myself, we'll see you all next in 2 weeks. Peace.